Should the Fed have some oversight?
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Steve Chiotakis. It's the morning open. Today's look at the economy as trading gets underway for this Friday morning. We're about 20 minutes in, which begs the question, where's Wall Street? Oh, yes, the number's down once again. The S&P down about 0.25%. The NASDAQ down 0.5% right now. And the Dow is off about 6 points at 10,325. European shares have swung to losses today as well. And in Asia, stocks closed mostly lower. Hong Kong, Japanese, and Chinese stocks lost ground today. The House Financial Services Committee has passed a measure that would let Congress audit the Federal Reserve for everything it does. The proposal is the work of longtime Fed critic, Texas Republican Congressman Ron Paul, but opponents say it would make it impossible for the Fed to do its job properly. We're going to get reaction this morning from Gary Schilling, an economist and president of his own research firm. He's with us live from Virginia this morning. Hi, Gary.
I'm in New Jersey, not Virginia.
Okay, nice to have you from New Jersey. What do you think? Is this proposal misguided?
It probably is, but it's a very reasonable reaction to the lax regulation we've had in recent years and all the financial and economic problems that resulted. So I think that it's one of those things where reaction following action following a lack of action by the regulators is pretty much to be expected.
Hey, Gary, could this be setting us up for a showdown with the Obama administration over how much power the Fed will have under new financial reform?
Well, the Obama administration, I don't think, is as zealous on this as Congress is showing itself to be by a long shot. But there is an awful lot of concern out there. Big bonuses on Wall Street now, while the unemployment rate is over 10%, doesn't exactly thrill most voters in this country. And that ire is being reflected in Congress, and they're taking out that spleen on the Fed, among others. But, you know, what ends up getting passed is another question. We have had considerable revival in both stock and bond markets since March, and that's probably taken a lot of the heat off the prospects of this kind of thing getting passed. Bear in mind that all the regulation that was put in on Wall Street in reaction to the Depression was started with after the inauguration of FDR in 1933, and the fact that the stock market was languishing back then and the economy was still in a deep depression made that kind of thing very attractive for politicians.
Dr. Schilling with a history lesson from New Jersey. We appreciate it this morning. Thanks.
You're welcome.
Rough third quarter for computer maker Dell. The company reported earnings dropped 54%. But today the company's humming a different tune. Marketplace's Elisa Roth is with us live from our bureau in New York. Good morning, Elisa.
Good morning.
So what happened here?
One of the things is that a lot of Dell's revenue comes from its commercial business, selling computers to companies. Regular consumers are starting to buy stuff again, but businesses are still holding back. Dell is the third biggest maker of PCs, but it did lose some market share this last quarter, and the component parts it uses to make its computers got more expensive, so that cost them as well.
But today the company's saying it'll be back in action next quarter, right?
True. Dell is saying it hopes Microsoft can help drive some business. Microsoft just released version 7 of Windows, so that might get some customers interested. Dell is also hoping that companies will just decide it's time to upgrade their old systems, and they'll have to buy new computers to do that. Dell's also saying that it expects to see a lot of growth from emerging markets, and that's already happening. In China, Dell's revenue grew about 20% in the third quarter, so even while it wasn't doing so well at home, it was actually doing quite well overseas.
All right. So Elisa Roth at the Marketplace New York Bureau this morning. Elisa, thanks.
You're welcome.
Oprah Winfrey's production company says it'll end the show after the 2011 season. Up to now, it's been quite a ride.
Cue the drum roll. All right, open your boxes. Open your boxes. 1, 2, 3.
To start the 2004 season, she gave away new Pontiacs to everyone in her audience. The daytime TV icon is hoping she can sell her brand on her own cable channel.
I have a sense that Oprah is so innovative that she's not about to lose the kind of audience that she's spent so much time cultivating.
Susan Harrow is the author of The Ultimate Guide to Getting Booked on Oprah. The loss of Oprah is a blow to CBS because it earns a percentage of hefty licensing fees from TV stations that air it. You're listening to the Marketplace Morning Report for Friday, November 20th, 2009, at marketplace.org. European leaders met in Brussels last night to choose the first ever EU president. There had been lots of talk that the title should go to the former British Prime Minister Tony Blair, someone who's used to rubbing shoulders with world leaders. But as Christopher Worth reports, Europe will instead be headed up by someone a little more unassuming.
Europe's new top job goes to Belgian Prime Minister Herman Van Rompuy, a figure that until now was relatively unknown. The speculation in Brussels is that many EU leaders, including German Chancellor Angela Merkel, didn't want an EU president who might overshadow them on the world stage. Graham Mather is with the European Policy Forum.
So at the end of the day, you're not electing the king of the world. You're choosing someone to broker compromises between the 27 member states.
But while Merkel was the key decision maker, Germany never put its own candidate forward. Merkel may be keeping her powder dry for when it comes time to choose a new president of the European Central Bank in 2011.
The understood arrangement is that Axel Weber, the head of the German Bundesbank, will become the next president of the European Central Bank.
Mather says the position is important to Germany because it wants tight controls over inflationary policy in the eurozone and how banks are rescued in any future economic crisis. In London, I'm Christopher Worth for Marketplace.
The city of Chicago hosts about 100 major trade shows, conventions, and meetings every year, bringing in hundreds of millions of dollars. But within the past week, a couple of trade shows have announced they're leaving town. And today there's talk that another might look elsewhere as well. Chicago Public Radio's Susie Ahn brings us this report.
Since the 1970s, the Plastics Industry Trade Association has held its trade show in Chicago. But Plastics' Barry Eisenberg says Chicago's labor costs are too high.
It takes about a week to set up the show and a week after the exhibition is over to break down and ship things out. And so all that labor cost, all that shipping cost, we found to be very expensive.
Eisenberg says the plastic show is moving to Orlando, where it expects to save about $20 million.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.